this American pie.
Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
Well, American ass.
God bless America.
I'll be an American. Where at least I know I'm free.
American girls and American guys. We'll touch your ass.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
Shotgun blast, shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Shotgun boogie. Draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shell.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took the cross.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for the Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on the Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Alrighty, here we are. That was a fun show there with Amy. It's Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's 23rd of February, and it's Monday. Hope you guys had a great weekend. We had a blast. Saw some old friends down here. Saw Tebow. Saw C7 and Infidel. And we had a good time down there. I wish we could have stayed longer. We'll have to go back and visit again there sometime next month. But anyway, I was just I was looking at some pictures here. I was showing Amy about the cockroaches, and she said, "Why do they grow so much bigger down there?" And I said, "Well, it's not necessary that they're any bigger. You know, they're probably just not the same kind of cockroach that there is around here." So I said, "There, you know, there's hundreds of different kinds all over the world, and those being close to the seaports and stuff there down in Beaumont and Houston and down in that area, you get stuff coming in off of ships and in shipments of, you know, fruit or whatever the case may be." And I'm going to put a picture in the chat room right now. It looks very much like the one that I killed in the motel room down there. It was about this size. There you go. Check that out. And that's about how big that one was that I killed down there. So I wasn't, I'm not scared of bugs. They really don't bother me at all. But when you get a damn cockroach that big, when you get spiders as big as the palm of your hand, and that kind of stuff, then that I can do without all that. So anyway, the and that is a beetle, as Kilogram says, but it was about that big anyway. There's I'm looking for some different cockroaches here. Here's this looks like no, that looks like another beetle. There's all kinds of different bugs on here that look like cockroaches and whatnot. But anyhow, let's move on with the stuff we got to do here. Palm Bay Lou has joined us. And Kilogram, I haven't seen you for two or three weeks. Glad you made it back. Let me see if there's anybody else in here that's... looks like everybody's pretty much regulars here. Don't have any anonymous in here right now for whatever reason. Oh, we got one. Got one anonymous. Okay. All right, let's move on. There's what's C7 here? New little gun shop, 3 Glock 20, starting at price $5.55. Well, C7, you say in the Glock 3 Glock 20s, the Gen 3 starting at $5.55, another one was $5.60, and one was closer to $600, and a Glock 29 that was $5.99. You know, without seeing them, I don't know if they were all new or not, but a third generation with standard sights and standard everything, $5.55 is, it's probably about average, not bad. $5.60, you know, there's only $5 difference there. I don't know why I wanted it to only be $5 difference. But the one that was closer to $600, maybe it had night sights on it. Maybe it was a Gen 4. Maybe it was new and the other ones were used. The 29 are always the same price. If your dealer is ethical and doing things as he, you know, selling them for, you know, as he, comparatively speaking, is what he bought them for. The 29s cost the same as the 20s. If it was a third generation 29 and it was new, it costs the same as a third generation 20 that's new. There is no price difference in the little one or the big one. So that might help you to understand that just a little bit better. Anyway, I got to find a story here that, one of our listeners sent to me. Good story, too. This took place in Walgreens. And there's several lessons to be learned here from this story. And hold on a minute. We got, let's see. Just got a message from Amy. Oh, okay. She told me to address C7's questions. Got them already. Okay. Okay. Two police officers. This was in Chicago. Two cops took on a guy that was 6'3", 250 pounds. That's about just an inch shorter than me, about my size. And this guy had managed to take the gun away from one of the cops, shot one of them, and both of them were wrestling him and fighting with him. So one of the employees, a Walgreens employee,
Now, this employee weighed 130 pounds and was 5'6". Well, he decided he needed to jump in there. So he said just seconds before he was finally subdued, seemed like an eternity to the employee there, said he noticed that his work uniform was covered with blood, one of the officers, and it was he'd fired one shot. I forgot part of the story here. Let me see. But he'd fired one shot. Okay, fired one shot and missed. And he jumped in there with him and managed to force the man's finger off the trigger as he was about to fire a second time, according to the story. And he said they needed help. They don't have this. I knew the one cop was hurt, and I just knew they needed help. So he jumped in there, this guy. The guy, Thompson was his name, Thomas Thompson, 33 years old, Army veteran. And what he'd done is trying to get away some stolen drugs and some other stuff from the Northside Walgreens on Valentine's Day. And this little guy jumped in there and saved the day. And the cops calling him a hero and everything, and rightfully so. But what I get out of this here... I don't know how many times we have talked about people that have fought back, people that have with little or no chance of winning, a normal regular fight with him. But C7, I'm gonna have to do some serious soul searching about whether I'm gonna get an FFL again or not. I don't know if I will or not. I'm gonna make up my mind probably this week and see. But anyway, we have people that fight back, little or no chance of winning, but they just don't give up. And fact is that about 99% of them at least survive. They may not be injured, but at least they survive. And there's lots of them that don't fight back. They get taken to a secondary crime scene, and they wind up being raped, killed, or both. And so this guy jumped in there, little sheepdog, wasn't going to give up. And I thought that was a pretty neat story, and I think it can probably be an example to all of us who, how many people were around? Go back to 1938 Germany, 1940-45, where you'd have two or three Nazis with rifles marching, maybe 100 or however many Jews to the gas chambers. Sergeant York marched 132 Germans out at the point of a rifle by himself. Now, I've always thought that was I always wondered about that story. How do you march 100? He had demoralized them so bad. He'd killed enough of them that they just didn't want no more of it. And they dutifully marched out. Now, maybe they were tired of, the war. Maybe they were tired of the cold. Maybe they were tired of taking orders. Maybe they were tired of eating liverwurst. I don't know. Maybe they just let themselves be marched out but the fact is, if they would have, turned and charged him, yeah, he'd have probably killed, two, maybe three, but they'd have got him. He had the mindset and the attitude that this little guy in the Walgreens had. He said, they need help, and I'm getting in there. And a lot of Sergeant York's comrades there were under fire from this machine gun and everything. He said, they need help, and I'm getting in there. And he did. So, pretty neat story there. I looked it up many just posted something there that reminded me of that. If you go to Amazon and look, you can get, and I don't know, they've never been this cheap before. But if you'll go on there and look for Sergeant York, you can get the DVD of Sergeant York and To Hell and Back with Audie Murphy for $18.97. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't got those, if you haven't seen them, for $18.97, I would suggest that you march right over to Amazon right now and capture those two DVDs. Awesome stuff to watch there. Great learning stuff in there. All right, let's see what's going on here. No charges for cops who broke into innocent man's home while he slept and shot him 16 times. King County, Washington, B2 Basic, Tampico Scout, Yakima Glock. What's going on with this? This happened in, it's a brand new story, but I guess it originally happened in February 2012. Two cops busted into his bedroom, started to unload their pistols as he was asleep. It's estimated that the cops fired over 20 rounds, of which 16 landed in the dude. According to his attorney, he suffered a broken shoulder, two broken arms, broken legs, and a compression fracture to his spine, damage to his liver and his spleen. To add insult to attempted murder, this was not the guy the police were looking for. Now, even if it was the police looking for, you don't just march into the bedroom and start blasting away while they're asleep. I don't care if it was bad. I don't care if it was the worst damn guy out there. You know, you give anybody, and I'm not saying give him a chance. You give him a chance to surrender. You just don't start shooting them in the back or in the, you know, whatever, while they're asleep. They were there to arrest a man who had violated his parole. They were there to arrest a man is what they said. They were there to arrest a man. So they're going to shoot him, shoot over 20 times and then arrest him, I reckon. I guess that's the way they do it in King County, Washington. Cole Harrison, somebody there that was at the house, said the officers rushed into that room like they were going to get somebody. I mean, they rushed down there, and then all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. King County reached a settlement with the guy, agreeing to pay him $3 million. But the shot-up dude now has brought a federal lawsuit against the officers. Outstanding. Good job. I should have sued them to start with. Officers claimed that he was reaching for a gun, although it would have been entirely justified reaching for his gun, as his life was clearly in danger. He denies this assumption, this claim. According to the Seattle Times, in his federal suit, he alleges that the two cops fired at him after asking for identification. He contends that he reached to the floor for his wallet and was turning back with it when he was struck with about 16 shots in the face, arm, legs, and abdomen. So I'll have to say here that obviously they're going to say they feared for their lives, and that is what they said. And no charges filed. Now, not being there, I don't know exactly what happened. If he reached down to his wallet on his pants laying on the ground and went to get back up, you might be able to understand what was going on there. Maybe he should have said, you know, my wallet's right here on the floor. How would you like for me to get it for you? Or something like that. You know, you do the same thing when, hold on just here for a minute. You know, you can kind of understand the cop's point here. Shot 16 times while he's laying in bed, but as he reached for his wallet and coming up with it, you know, I guess they've got a point. it's a little hard to understand how they shoot him from bedroom ranges and break all his arms and all his legs and puncture half his organs and all this stuff. They probably need to take some firearms training from Southwest Shooting Authority is what I'd guess needs to happen here. But anyway, of course, if I find out that it's him, I'm not going to train him anyway. But anyhow, after hearing the debates of the details of the case, February 6th, U.S. District Judge Richard Jones ruled the excessive force claim in his suit to be heard by a jury in a trial scheduled for June 1st. But this week, all that would change. In a travesty of justice, reacting to Jones' ruling, that raised questions about the deputy's and officer's version of the events. Prosecutor said in a statement that insufficient evidence remains that the two acted with malice or bad faith in violation of state law. After reviewing the conflicting reports of that evening, it's clear that the prosecutors are either covering for their boys in blue or haven't looked at any of the evidence. Let's see, the report also suggests that the sheriff's office did more to cover up for the two officers than it did to investigate the shooting. Citing an apparent conflict of interest right from the start, under KCSO policy, the first supervisor to arrive at the scene is obliged to assume control of the crime scene, direct involved personnel, and take on preliminary investigation responsibilities. Let's see, clearly given the sensitive issues, all that's irrelevant. Shortly after arriving at the scene, he switched roles from supervisor and neutral party to officer advocate. Anyway, he says he's undergone 12 surgeries, will never be the same again. And you can say that it was because of overzealous cops, or you can say because he reached down to the floor and then came back up with something that they couldn't see. I don't know. Not being there, I couldn't say. But so, Madison police officer. This is a little bit better. Madison police officer arrested for assault on paralyzed grandfather case. Madison City police officer arrested after an Indian grandfather was partially paralyzed following a use of force case on Friday. Madison City Police Department held a news conference. Let's see, police the dash cam video showed the guy being thrown to the ground. The caller said a skinny black man in his 30s had been looking in windows. When police got to the scene, they found Patel, an Indian man in his late 60s. Officers are heard asking Patel where he lives and where he's going, and it appears in the video that he already had his hands cuffed behind his back when the officer body slams him to the ground. Officers then tell him to stand up. He seems struggling. He's unable to do so. Madison City Chief of Police said he and the entire department are sorry. Okay, I can't argue with that any. Anyway, appears like they've arrested one of the cops there. The cops' lawsuit accuses two officers of illegal seizure, unlawful search, excessive force, false imprisonment. The filing said Patel was violently assaulted by one of the officers. So, the FBI has been involved in it now, so that's good. And again, another one here. Phoenix officer accused of pointing a gun at driver pleads guilty to disorderly conduct. What's going to happen to him? Pretty much nothing, I think. Phoenix police officer accused of threatening a driver with a gun during a traffic altercation has pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor count of disorderly conduct. Now, if I had pointed a gun at a cop over the same conditions, would it have been a misdemeanor? No. No, I'm thinking they would bless me with a felony. Jeremy Sweet is the name of the cop. Entered his plea Thursday. This last Thursday. He is scheduled to be sentenced on March 26th. Well, good. I'll be anxious to see what happens with the sentencing hearing here. He was operating an unmarked police vehicle and transporting six prisoners to jail at the time. Ruiz told police that he honked when Sweet's van cut him off. Anyway, it's a little road rage incident there. Now, kind of to go along with this same deal here, we just been blabbing away, not saying anything terribly important, and run right on by our break here. So I think what we're going to do is take a little break. I need to stand up and stretch my leg and find my water bottle. I don't know where I put it, so it might take me just a minute. So I think I'm going to do is play a song here about a foot long. And, yeah, this looks like a good one.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. September day, teaching a class full of innocent children, or driving down some cold interstate. Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes, hope it never happened, close your eyes and not go to sleep? Did you notice the sunset, first time in ages, speak to some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family, thank God you had somebody to love? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. greatest is love. And the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
All right, we're back. Little Alan Jackson there is good for you, man. So, since we're on a roll here tonight, and let me throw in right after the break here, let me throw in a little disclaimer here real quick. I truly, honestly, with all my heart, believe that there are still lots and lots of good cops. As a matter of fact, I think good cops still probably outnumber the bad ones. Maybe not by a hell of a lot, not as much as they used to. These stories that I do are definitely not because I hate cops. It is because I hate corruption in any form of government. And these cops here that get away with things with no accountability at all just drives me nuts. These cops that run prostitution rings and dope rings and all this stuff just makes me crazy. I don't know how many times I've sat on this show and said, you know, when I was a kid, long time ago, when you were lost or something, and if you saw a man in uniform wearing a badge, you could always count on him taking care of you. Could always count on him, you know, getting you, buying you a Coke and going and finding your mom or something like that. And it just seems that that's just not always the case anymore. And it's sad because I do know some damn fine police officers. Damn fine. Good men and women. And, it's embarrassing. It's bound to be embarrassing and humiliating and infuriating to them to have some of their fellow officers act the way that some of these do. Like this one, for instance. Let's take this one here. August of last year, no, 2013, there was a guy, his name was Daron Love, being interrogated. Boy, was he ever. He was chained to a wall. And the cop, he was a detective at the time, Rodolfo Gomez. Let's go first and see what Daron Love was accused of. He was accused of killing his seven-month-old baby. And he would not confess to it. And he did finally actually beat the charge because he didn't kill his seven-month-old baby. But a year after being tortured by this cop, he was found not guilty of first-degree reckless homicide in the child neglect case. And no matter how hard how much he was beat and everything by this cop, he never would confess. That says a lot for his constitution there for sure. After being tired of being told to confess, to the crime he did not commit, he became agitated and began screaming in the face of Gomez. Gomez then feared for his safety. You got a man chained to the wall, and this cop feared for his safety. He's chained to the wall. All you got to do is take a step back. He was chained to the wall and yelled at him, so he began to beat the man. Savagely, they say. There are two videos of this interaction with the guy. In the first video, he's seen unleashing multiple punches and knee blows to the face and head of Love. In the second video, both of Love's hands are chained to the wall. Seeing the opportunity to inflict more pain, Gomez then began gouging Love's eyes out. Says the screams are hard to bear. Gomez was subsequently fired for his despicable behavior. However, he is now appealing. Earlier this month, using a controversial tactic of slow-motion video presentation, the defense is somehow able to convince a jury that Gomez actually feared for his life, feared for his safety. How do you fear for your safety if somebody chained to the wall? The defense broke the video down frame by frame and used cherry-picked images to sway the jury into believing their ridiculous self-defense stance. The jury was eventually convinced, but we'll see what happens here. Or how about this one? Here's another one. Officer fails a lie detector test after engagement ring stolen from a traffic stop, and he's cleared anyway. Douglasville, Georgia, police officer walked free and keep his job after he was accused of stealing an engagement ring during a traffic stop. Was cleared of any wrongdoing despite significant evidence against him. Not only were Manwaring and his partner caught on camera discussing the ring before its disappearance, but he's also failed a lie detector test when asked about the ring. Officer told investigators he was 95% sure there was no ring, although the ring was explicitly discussed in the video. In the video, he was heard saying, oh, this dude was getting married to somebody. It's an engagement ring. And then they 95% sure that there was never any ring. So now when we have to take a lie detector test and fail it, we are guilty. When they take a lie detector test and fail it, I don't know, maybe he feared for his life. I don't know, but they cleared him anyway. So cops cleared after shooting an unarmed man in the back of the head at a traffic stop. Last December, two Philadelphia police officers shot and killed an innocent man during what had been a routine traffic stop. Shooting death of Brandon Tate Brown, 26, happened after the young man was pulled over for driving with his headlights off. Driving with your headlights off evidently is a crime punishable by death in Philadelphia. They did not explain why he was being placed in handcuffs in the first place for simply failing to have his lights on. Still, and so, oh yeah, by the way, this Brandon Tate Brown was black. Still, in spite of their lack of cause to cuff the young man, they have continuously used this as a pretext for gunning him down. They claimed to be engaged in a violent struggle with the two officers and lunged for a handgun inside the vehicle. Now it gets a little tricky here. Pay attention. Try to keep up. Television news crews arrived at the scene only minutes later, and they clearly documented that the vehicle had its lights on. Officers would have had been prohibited from turning the lights on after the shooting, as this would have been disturbing a crime scene and tampering with evidence. Why would they turn it on if they were trying to convict him of or charge him with having them off anyway? They say that they believe he was simply, the family says they think he was stopped for driving while black. And I'm thinking that that's probably a distinct possibility. They claim he was shot in the back of the head by a racist police officer who executed him for demanding to know why he was being handcuffed. Similarly, the family claims after they shot him, they used a plant gun. Since the police acknowledged that he had no weapon on his person, it seems difficult to imagine why they would have said that they had a hidden weapon inside the vehicle. Anyway, well, there you have it. By the way, how about the cop who shot and killed a sleeping 7-year-old girl? No longer facing any charges. Ayanna Stanley Jones was only 7 years old when a Detroit police officer shot and killed her with a single bullet to the head. He's now free of all charges against him have been dropped. Parents are asking for answers about the ever-increasing militarized police forces across America. The final charges against Officer Weekly were completely dismissed on Friday. Detroit area juries twice failed to reach a verdict in the case. First time was in June of 2013, again in October 2014. In the first instance, The judge dismissed the charge of involuntary manslaughter, saying there was lack of evidence. Then the judge dismissed a lesser second charge regarding the reckless use of a firearm. Weekly doesn't have to pay, but the family that lost a child has to pay. And the spokesperson for the family said. So, there you go. A SWAT team had conducted a raid to search for a murder suspect. Weekly ended up being the first through the door. Then there was a film crew on hand to film for a reality show about murder investigations. Weekly says that another SWAT member had thrown a flashbang grenade, which temporarily blinded him. That's when he fired the shot that killed the little girl who was asleep on the couch in the front room of the house. Doubling down on his claim, in court he actually testified that the girl's grandmother had somehow touched his gun, which made him fire the shot, but he failed to explain how he could tell she had done this when he claimed that he couldn't see anything at the time. But obviously, he feared for his life. So, long as they say they fear for their life, it doesn't really matter if a 7-year-old girl was sleeping or if somebody was handcuffed and sitting in a car and you shoot him in the back of the head. We saw a guy, well, we didn't see it, but I know a guy that did see it. And that was a cop that a U.S. Marshal that shot a guy in the back of the head in a pickup in Farmington about 3 or 4 years ago. Some of you, 5 years ago maybe. Some of you that's been with me for a long time may have heard us talk about that story. So, anyway. Now, before we sign off here, there's a couple things I want to talk about. C7 has taken it upon himself here to get some more listeners, and he's got a good point. You know, we've got on Dying Is Not an Option, or one of our Facebook pages, or Facebook groups, we've got almost 900 people in there now, and you would think that we'd be able to squeeze a few more into. Now, of course, I know that there are a hell of a bunch of people that listen to the podcast and to the, to both on iTunes and through the Podbean. So that we don't see on the chat room here. But you'd think we'd be able to get some more people in here on the chat. So I want to challenge all of you to talk to your friends and see if you can get. I know it's awful late on the East Coast. I don't blame people for not staying up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning to listen out there, you know, except maybe on Friday nights, on weekends or Saturday nights. But of course, I'm not on Saturday nights. But the try to get some of your friends to get in here and listen. Now, another thing I'm going to do, I've already ordered them and they're coming. If you look at some of the, if you look up there in the top left-hand corner of the chat there, you see the Survival Circle Network logo. We've got some decals coming, some stickers put on your window, your car, your notebook, your laptop, your gun case, or whatever. The other ones have the web address on it, the survivalcircle.com. And we're going to sell those. I think they're going to be $5 a piece. And I'm going to have some, they're not going to be full color like that. We're going to have some embroidered ones in full color, just like that. But right now, we've got some vinyl decals that are, there's some red ones, some black ones, and some white ones, depending on what you want to put it on to get the best contrast out of it. So we're going to start selling those here. I'll have them on the online store at theshootingbench.us here, Most Ricky Tick, as soon as I get them, hopefully this week. And also, I might do some trivia questions or something here once in a while and just give one away just for the heck of it. And so we'll see how all that goes. BB Burner, son, everybody likes you. Don't give me that crap. You don't know. I don't know about Kilogram. I would think Kilogram's got friends. He's been around here for a while. I don't know why he wouldn't have friends. I know everybody likes BB Burner. But there's Palm Bay Lou. Just popped in there. So, and B2 Basic, hey, we don't mind if Washington dominates the show. If Texas or California or Minnesota or Washington or New Mexico, Arizona, somewhere I don't like it, maybe they'll get more people on here. So you just go ahead and bring more people. That'd be all right. But the reason is, you know, it's not because we make money at this, but we like to get the word out. We like to spread the gospel of Cope. So try to try to get more people in here and see if we can help spread the gospel of Cope out there a little bit. All right. Well, I'm going to sneak on out of here now. Ease on towards the door. I'm going to have probably a hard time sleeping tonight. I ate way too much biscuits and gravy a while ago. It's going to kill me. But anyway, I will be up in Washington in June. We've got coming up this weekend, not to change horses in the middle of the stream or anything, but decided I might as well do them in order. Coming up this weekend, we've got the Battlefield Medic class, Wilderness Medic class coming up right here in Vernon. And that class is definitely a go. It's almost full. And that's coming up this, let me look here, 27th, 28th, Friday and Saturday. We've got some stuff going on down in southern Arizona I've got to go to in the first week of March. Come back 13th and 14th. Will be a CCW class on the 13th and a Counter-Strike class on the 14th. We're probably going to wind up canceling. Well, we're not canceling it. We're actually moving the reloading class up to the 18th. I'm going to be doing it right in the middle of the week. So that's going to be a little inconvenient for a lot of people, but we've got other people that's going to take it. So that class will definitely be a go. And then we probably will be back in Farmington on possibly the 20th and 21st or the 27th, 26th, 27th, 28th, one or the other. Anyway, we're trying to get more classes going. We just got more things going than we can possibly take care of here. So I'm going to scoot on out of here, and we'll see y'all tomorrow night. Thanks for being with me for a couple hours, or for an hour. No, a couple hours, because I was with Amy, too. Whatever.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.